podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Leading Edge Cricket Podcast. And before we go anywhere, we need to say we didn't do it. So last week we released a podcast saying, hey, here's the top eight spinners in the country and Jack Leach is number one and all these people sit behind him and the only way they would ever get a game is if Jack Leach went down injured. And then I got a text at 5:30 in the morning saying, you need to release the podcast about the spinners because Jack Leach is out for the series. We did not do it.
Sorry, Jack. It wasn't me stressing his fracture. That was really disappointing, wasn't it? Really frustrating. For those of you who have listened to that already, Jack Leach, obviously the number one spinner in the country. It's not for the Ashes, sorry.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone, mate. And it's definitely absolutely one of those. Because when we were going down the list, it's like, could they really be the number one spinner in the Ashes? Probably not. But England have made an announcement and yeah, done that. So today we're going to be going through the top five spinning all-rounders in the country. And how this works is they bat and they can bowl spin. And there'll be another podcast coming out, which will be the top five seam bowling all-rounders because they perform slightly different roles and depending on how you want to fit things into the team, which is a nice segue for how England have solved us the problem of working out who is the number one all-round spin bowling all-rounder in the country.
Yes, I mean, when we did the spin top eight, which is fantastic, wasn't it? Because they're all top tens, but we did a little bit of a surprise on that one where we only got to eight because that's all we could get to. But we were looking really further ahead, weren't we? We were looking to the winter tour in India, five tests. That's where we're going to be seeing two, maybe even three spinners in the team. But now, obviously, we're looking much closer right in front of us. And yeah, there is a certain Mr. Moeen Ali now who's straight in at number one, new entry. If we'd have recorded this a week ago, Moeen Ali would not have released his... I'm going down the wrong rabbit hole here of song releases. He's a person, Rob. He's not a record. But yeah, Moeen Ali is number one. And he has to be, doesn't he? Obviously, now he's back in the team. He's 34 now, Rob. He'd retired from cricket. Not to cricket, test cricket. It was a bit... He said it rightly, I think. He's probably getting a bit too hard for him. It's hard work mentally, physically. He needed the break from it. He was just wiped out. He's made that decision. Since the injury to Jack Leach, he's obviously come back in and he has to be the all-round option. If Ben Stokes wasn't available for whatever reason, you can move Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow up the order and it makes things pretty good, doesn't it? Moeen is 35, but he turns 36 on the 18th of June. So happy birthday in advance to Moeen Ali. Debuted all the way back in 2014. His last appearance, though, came in September 2021. What do we got here, Rob? We got 2,914 test runs with 500s and we have 195 wickets for Moeen. Obviously the number one all-rounder, now he's available again.
Moeen Ali was world-class for a period in test match cricket and he made this England team work. And when he left, I felt we spent years trying to work out how do we replace Moeen Ali? It always happens. Someone retires and then, oh, how do we replace them? Particularly when they've been integral, because he gave you balance to the team. He gave you a genuine kind of number six, sometimes number seven type role, batter in the test arena, good enough to score five test match centuries. That's pretty impressive. And there was a period where he was a wicket-taking threat. 195 test match wickets, that kind of gives it away that it's not been too bad. But he did struggle. He averaged 38 in 2021 and particularly has got a poor record against Australia. He averages in England 33.48 with the ball, but against Australia overall, he averages 64.65. And it's not a case that he's been playing a whole heap of red ball cricket since he's gone white ball crazy, and more power to him. He's had an excellent test career, gone and played T20 cricket around the world. He's not lifted a bat or a ball in anger in the Kearney Championship since 2019. That is an awfully long time ago. So I think we're asking a lot of Moeen Ali to come in with no preparation, no mental preparation about coming into the Ashes and getting stuck in and being the lead spinner again. Because to be honest, it's his spin that I felt was going downhill as a bowler that last year or so. It just wasn't quite clicking like it was. But who knows? It could be a blessing in disguise for Moeen Ali that there isn't any of the mental prep and anguish and red ball toil that you've got to go through to get to the big game again. It's just a case of come in, see how you go. You're the type of player we need. He's the type of player that will probably thrive in this environment. Yep. And as we said before we came on, Rich, it's about taking 20 wickets. Mm. Jack Leach provides a different role for this England team. Seymour's definitely about taking 20 wickets, but Jack Leach does offer control and he's used a hell of a lot by Stokes, even in the first inning. So can Moeen Ali, you know, do that role sufficiently? Time will tell, but with the left-handers in the attack, you can see why they went with a right-arm off-spin as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Jack Leach. We've spoken about this at length, haven't we? Jack Leach was gone from being a questionable player in this Test side to probably the most improved player in this Test side since McCullum and Stokes came in. Huge, huge loss. We know it's not going to be an easy fix. Bringing Moeen back in from the cold, so to speak, it's going to be tricky for him. Let's hope he's properly up for it. Let's hope we don't get halfway through this series and he decides, actually, I had made the right decision previously. I got a little bit excited, like I did a week or so ago, buying some gig tickets for tonight, where I'm then going on holiday early tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm probably going to regret it tomorrow morning. So Moeen's in there. He has to be number one. And like I said, this is sort of an exercise, isn't it? If we need that all-rounder. So that means if Ben Stokes is unavailable, this is what we're talking about. Then we'd be looking at maybe Bairstow at six, Moeen at seven. He's the spinner, isn't he, as an all-rounder, and then the four after. And that's what we're going to continue to roll with now. Let's pretend that Stokes isn't available. Let's pretend Moeen Ali's not available. And the next spinner, spinning all-rounder, is Rehan Ahmed. A man that will be a little bit disappointed he didn't get the call this week. Not sure how he'll be feeling about that. I assume conversations have been had, but it's still a bit of a knock for the 18-year-old Leicestershire leggy. Nottingham-born man, obviously we know he made his debut in all three formats this winter, including his Test debut, where he took himself seven wickets across the game, including a 5 for 48. Really top-quality spinner, potentially. A talented player. Had it a little bit difficult so far this summer in first-class cricket, but who hasn't? I don't really see how we can be looking at county cricket so far, performances from spinners, and saying that's a reason not to pick somebody, because no spinner has had it go their own way so far this year. When we're talking about all-rounders, though, he's a good player, isn't he, Rob? He's got himself 122, I believe, in first-class in 12 innings, and he's also got three half-centuries. So a player with immense talent with the bat as well, and could arguably be another one of those players, a bit like Sam Curran, for example, who could one day become a better batsman than bowler. We hope he's just as good as both, though. So Rehan Ahmed is at number two, Rob.
Yeah, it's worth noting that when we talk about the spinning all-rounder, the general idea is that it's a second type of spinner for your team, because you've got Jack Leach as your number one. And when we went through our top eight spinners, Ahmed was number two in there, and we had a huge caveat saying Jack Leach is the guy. Yeah. But the next cab off the rank for England will want to be Rehan Ahmed. I don't think it would have been right to pick him for the Ashes, because he has played nine county championship games of cricket and one test match. I think it's a lot to stick him into the Ashes, particularly when this year he's bowled 75 overs during the season. Like, it's not, again, he might not be one of those players where he needs the preparation, but I feel like his time as the first choice spinner is a little bit down the road. But in terms of a second spinner playing as a batting spinner as well, adding quality to that batting lineup, I think he's absolutely nailed on for it. We make a call on here quite often saying that this potential that his batting is stronger than his spinning. You've mentioned it, and I think that's realistically something that could happen. His spin in T20 cricket is completely different to first class cricket, and you see that through different players as well. Rashid Khan, the best T20 spinner in the world, goes and plays test matches. It's a completely different game. It's not about just trying to take a wicket every single ball. It's about the setup as well. So I think his time will come. It'll add value with the bat. Number two on the list. Wouldn't surprise me. He's going to be in the tour for India, I would have thought. Mm-hmm. And if Leach is available again, he'll just sit behind him as the second spinner in the squad. But who knows? It may well be Moeen Ali taking the India tour as well.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It'd be interesting to see if Moeen is looking just to get through this Ashes series. I can't imagine he'll be making a long-term decision at this point. It'll literally be, I'm available this summer. So yeah, like you said, I mean, when we initially did these all-rounder lists, the spin side especially would be Jack Leach is in the team plus another. Again, looking ahead to India rather than this summer. And now everything's gone up in the air, hasn't it? So we're starting over. But Rayan's a great shout, I think, number two. Will Jack, so he's the man at number three, another man that made his debut, 24-year-old Surrey spinning all-rounder. Right-hand bat, isn't he? Off-spinner. Like I say, he's only 24, played two test matches, took six wickets across the two, in all in one innings, wasn't it? 661, 89 useful runs as well, batting at 7 and 8. 40-odd games into his first-class career with Surrey. I would probably say that he's a bowler that's working really hard to improve his bowling side, his spin side. He's probably a little bit more of a batter than a bowler at the moment, statistically and ability-wise. But he's definitely a player on the up. He's definitely a player on the radar. And he's someone we could absolutely see get into this England team.
He is. He fits the mould of what this team's about. You know, when the Pakistan squad came out and there was Ahmed, Livingston, Jax, it's like, I can see where you're going with this. I can see where you want to roll with. 40 county championship matches to his name, an average of 33. Now, he's a better player than that. He is a white ball sensation. And I kid you not, he will be a massive star in the IPL over the next 2 or 3 years. His ability is outstanding in T20 cricket, actually. He's one of the best in the country. 157 strike rate during that 24% boundary ball percentage. Putting that in context, a strike rate of about 140 is excellent. Alex Hales, I think, is normally about 145 career strike rate, maybe slightly higher. Jax is exceeding that ceiling. And generally, matches in T20 cricket have, give or take, around 16% of the balls go to the boundary. Something like that. And his is up at 24%, 6% above the match average for the games he plays in. So he's exceptional. His spin as a T20 bowler has got better and better over time. Last year, you started to see things like his strike rate coming down. His economy rate as a career is 7.29, which is good for T20 cricket. He's not really had a lot of opportunity to bowl in red ball cricket, but does that matter under this regime? No, it doesn't. He's gone to Pakistan. He's taken some wickets. 17 wickets last year at an average of 47. 2 wickets at 20 this year. He's only bowled 12 overs. Not a lot to talk about. So he's got everything about him says he's an international cricketer. The quality, the way he conducts himself, the bravado that goes with how he approaches the game. And he's one of those guys that will pick up wickets. I think the question that needs to be kind of worked out over time, is he a better bowler than a Joe Root type bowler? And if he is, does he fall into that kind of Moeen Ali category where he could potentially be a first choice spinner in the future? Don't know. You need to see more.
No, but that would you'd need that to be an option, wouldn't you? You really, really want a Will Jax to become that. Again, just going to reiterate something we've said loads. If you're a spinner, for some reason, you're expected to be able to bat. If you're a seamer, it doesn't really matter if you're that good a batter. We can put you at 11 or 10. But if you're a Matt Parkinson, a Mervedi, or some of these other players over the last few years, we don't really fancy you if you can't bat. So Will Jax obviously ticks that massive box of that he's a really good batter, and he could bat at 8, potentially higher than that. He could bat at 7 one day. Who knows? He could even bat at 6 for England as well. So let's just, you know, we're keeping that in mind when we are talking about these players. And at the moment, we are lacking those spinners, as we saw, that could be a standalone number one spinner in the test side just on their spin. So hopefully Jax can develop himself into that level.
It was interesting. You know, we went through our eight, and at number seven, I think we had Liam Dawson.
Yes.
That when the injury came, we went, who are they going to pick? And both of us were going, they might pick Liam Dawson here.
Yeah.
International quality in different formats. Yeah. Ultra consistent performer, does it red ball, white ball, cricket, anything he touches, can bat and can bowl. And it's like, they might take him for all of those reasons.
Well, that was it. We had him down at, I think, like you said, down at number seven. I think Jack Carson was rounded out at number eight, didn't he? The young Sussex spinner. Yeah. But Dawson, for me, it was one of those where, look, Jack Leach is in this summer. We don't need to worry about who the spinner is for this Ashes series. It's Jack Leach, Rob. No problem. And then obviously, then we said, but if Jack Leach was out, then we probably jump all the way down to seven, and Liam Dawson's probably the man that would get a job, because we didn't realise that Moeen Ali would take that or respond to that bat signal from Stokes to come and play again. Adil Rashid was another man, wasn't it, who was in that sort of conversation of, well, go and knock on his door as well. So But yeah, Liam Dawson would have been an interesting one. And maybe, Rob, maybe he breaks this list that we are running through at the moment. But there is another Liam first. There is a Livingston. And there was a few calls for this man when Leach went down as well. 29-year-old, he's a powerhouse of a batter, isn't it? And seems on paper absolutely ideal for this new era of Test cricket under Stokes McCullum. Obviously, we know he's a white ball specialist in many ways. But, you know, he has played a bit of, you know, been a red ball here and there occasionally, but that doesn't seem to count for much, so it doesn't really matter. He did make his Test debut of the winter in Pakistan, but got injured, so wasn't really able to contribute. It'd be a really interesting experiment, wouldn't it, that second, third spinner, friendly subcontinent conditions. Obviously, he wouldn't get a game as the standalone spinner. Would he get a game as a second spinner? Possibly. He's an interesting option, isn't he? I think you'd want him almost as your third spinner. You know, bats maybe at six or something like that, six or seven, and then gives you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, which is what his spin generally is. So Livingston at four, interesting player. Mm.
Dynamic, game-changing sort of player.
Ooh.
Just you're not sold that he's the right guy for Test cricket with the ball, but again, you kind of need to see it in operation. But his county championship career, 34 wickets at an average of 38, a strike rate of 87, some decent control with 2.66. His game has developed a lot in T20 cricket, known for his kind of butchering batting and hitting these absolutely humongous sixes. He's also got 69 wickets at an average of 25, a strike rate of 18 and a con rate of 8.33. It's not horrendous. He has started to bowl a little bit more in T20 cricket over 2020 to 2022. With the overs that he was bowling significantly went up, given that he was doing quite well. But unfortunately, during that time, so has his average, so has his strike rate, and so has his economy rate stayed about level, about 8.2, 8.3. This year particularly, not great in the IPL in terms of his bowling, but his batting is next level. There's not many people like Liam Livingston walking around the earth that can do what he does. If you look at him in T20 cricket, his rise is literally like that in terms of his strike rate year on year is impeccable. Back in 2020, a 137 strike rate, then moved to a 150 strike rate, then a 158, and then this year, minus the blast that's going on at the moment, 163. He just consistently gets better. His strike rate is almost 12 better than the top six for the matches he played in T20 cricket. The downside is he's not played a lot of red ball cricket, but he's been in England's minds as a batter. He toured New Zealand out here back in 2018-2019 and carried drinks, and everyone's like, oh, maybe we'll have a look at him. We didn't get to have a look at him. Could he do it? He can, like, the talk on Twitter is like, well, he can spin the ball both ways. It's like, that's great, and great for T20 cricket. But for me, even if it's your second spinner, you kind of want them to be able to take wickets. And you've just got to be able to see him in the Test arena and see some more of him. But from what I've seen from Rian Ahmed and what I've seen from Will Jacks, I'd probably put those two above him, like we have, in terms of spin bowling ability in red ball cricket at the moment. But Livingston with the bat coming in at six or seven, when you've got 300 for four on the ball, could be quite incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I know they did find a way into the Test side for him in Pakistan as well as Stokes. But I think, again, this situation, if Stokes was unavailable for a period of time, perhaps this winter, he might need to actually take a sit down and finally get himself fit. And healthy, should I say. Maybe that's when a Livingston does come more into the conversation than at the moment. But I think, you know, if Leach is back fit again, you've got Will Jackson, Rian Ahmed. That's probably the three you'd be looking at mainly, wouldn't you? But Livingston, definitely an interesting shout. And we will round the list out, Rob, with that other Liam Dawson. The man we did actually think would be the left field call to replace Jack Leach. Little bit surprised. Now, wouldn't be surprised if there was some conversations had with him behind the scenes, though. Vastly experienced. He's 33 now, represented England Tests, ODIs and T20s. He can absolutely bat at seven or eight easily in a Test side, I'm sure, whilst offering some very, very good steady control spin. A bit more like Leach in many respects. Made his Test debut way back in 2016, and the last of his three Test appearances coming in 2017. It's a shout, isn't it? He's a player that's, like I say, again, like Livingston, a really interesting player. He's more of one that would come in probably more at a pinch, isn't it? If players haven't performed through the rest of this summer, Dawson's still an option, I think, this summer as well, if Moeen Ali decides that it is too much. Bearing in mind, he is turning 36, only a few years older than Dawson, but he had turned his back on Red Bull cricket mainly, and obviously Test cricket. So Dawson isn't someone to discount. Closing in on 200 first-class appearances as well. Vastly experienced. He'd absolutely do a job.
He could, mate. He could. Averages 32 in the championship in that time. Just ticked over 8,000 runs. 220 wickets at an average of 35. His Test match record isn't horrendous either when you think where he's played his game. Played in India, actually did all right in India, averaged 66 with the bat in India at the time that he played there, averages 21 overall, 7 wickets at 42 with the ball, averaged 65 in India, averaged 33 in the Test match he played in England. For all those reasons that you mentioned, mate, he could 100% do a job for this team. He is consistent with the bat year on year for his county, always around that 400 to kind of, and he kind of peaked up to about 2015 with his batting. He had a 1,000-run year and a couple of 800-900 runs years. Dipped off a little bit, but still does enough. Averaged 20 what, 25, 51, 24, 34, 26. And with the ball, just a nice level of consistency year in, year out. He had some quite erratic years during his younger years. But now he's got a bit more experience about him. 2020, he averaged 19. 2022, he averaged 28. And this year, he's averaging 24. Most of them came in the 6-for-61 that he took in one of the final weeks before we went to the break. But just consistent performer. You can imagine in this team, he wouldn't let you down. I don't know if they'd quite get hold of him like potentially they would if a Matt Parkinson came in, where given the flight, it's almost like it's inviting them to come forward. But yeah, like we said, we had him at 7 in that list. We've got him at 5 in this list. Moeen Ali is unavailable for the second test.
Get him in.
It wouldn't surprise me if they picked Liam Dawson.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in case you just skipped forward and just heard Rob say Moeen Ali is unavailable for the second test, that's not a prediction or breaking news. That's just a scenario that could play out. Just don't panic.
we need to caveat scenarios because last time I ended up in Jack Leach going down injured. And I think what's also important is we're referencing some T20 stats here because that's where these guys apply their trade in the majority of places, like the IPL, the Blast, the 100, the Big Bash, the PSL. They're on that circuit more than they're playing Red Bull cricket. So you've got to look at what they're actually doing in that and whether they're good enough at that level to play at that elite tier of IPL and against high-class international opposition. And Jax and Livingston, 100%. And Dawson's got heaps of experience in T20 cricket as well. He's played Bangladesh Premier League. He played in the UAE League over the winter, English winter, played in the PSL, T20 and the Blast. So he's done heaps.
Yeah, yeah. Always playing against good players, obviously, as well, which is always good. So that's our five, Rob. Now, we're going to do five spinners and then five all-rounding seam bowling all-rounders. That makes more sense. But before we move on to those, Rob, should we just have a little look at a few other names that nearly made the list? And like spinners, I think we could probably stretch it to an eight. We're not doing it as an eight, but there's three more names I have on this list. I'm going to take one first because it's my man. It's Matt Critchley, the leg-spinning all-rounder from Derbyshire. He's only 26, Rob. He's a quality bat. He's an improving batsman at Essex now, getting better and better. He's just starting to bowl his spin again as well, which he hasn't been used as much. When you're in a team with Simon Harmer early in the season, second spinner is not going to get much of a shout, is he? But this is a player that I think could potentially work his way towards England selection in the future.
He 100% can. You are a huge Critchley fan. I think the thing for Critchley is bowling hasn't... He hasn't done heaps of bowling since he's changed to Essex.
No.
But he is second spinner material at Essex behind world-class Simon Harmer.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that you do get with Critchley, especially this year, his batting looks like it's gone back to his Derbyshire days. He looks a million bucks in the middle in Red Bull cricket, possibly a few years off, but 100% could be in the conversation in the future. You'd love that.
I would love that. So that's sick. So let's give it two more names there. I'm going to give you to you. I'm going to hand them over to you, Rob. One, always hear this shout, don't we? We spoke about it at the end of the spinners, Rob Keogh, and then Dom Bess as well. That's a couple for you.
Yeah, 100% agree. I'm glad you mentioned Dom Bess because he was high on the England radar, struggled with control for me in Test match cricket, just from the eye test, like what you're seeing. His figures actually weren't that bad. but he is a great player in county championship cricket. Interesting enough, he only averages 23 in county championship cricket, but I think he's a better player than that. He averaged 29 with the bat last year.
Yeah.
99 wickets since 2019, which is actually pretty reasonable at an average of 36 as well. And Rob Keogh, his bowling, I think his career bowling averages is around that 40-42 mark. But last year he was exceptional, and this year we've seen it in a poor performing Northamptonshire team with the bat. He stood up and held them strong many a time. So again, you come in way down, but there's always calls on Twitter and our England Watch tweets about Rob Keogh. What about Rob Keogh? It's just consistent, just good.
Solid player, absolutely. And you've got to just disregard that first-class bowling average, just the overall. You look at what he's done the last year and a half. That's the bowler that people are talking about now. He's a different player. He's gone and worked on his game, hasn't he? So, again, good shout, I think. So that gives us eight, Rob. And I think we're calling it a top five, aren't we? Because overall, we're going to have a top 10 of all-rounders, five seamers, five spinners. That rounds it out. I don't think we need to go any further with that. So that's a pretty good list. Let's just hope no more injuries, and we don't have to worry about who is the next one up.
I like the way we've got players for different eventualities. We've got a leg spinner, we've got Moeen Ali off spin, we've got Will Jacks off spin, we've got Liam Livingstone bowling both, we've got Liam Dawson bowling left armers, we've got Max Critchley as the backup leg spinning option. Yeah. We've got Rob Keogh as the backup Moeen Ali option. Like it's a good solid list. Let us know down in the comments below what you think of the list. Who you would want to change, chop and change around, what your list looks like, and if there's anyone kind of coming through that we've missed out that you're like, hey, yes, bro, you got to look at this guy. He's a Rian Ahmed type quality. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back. Next podcast will be all round at Seam Bowlers. We'll see you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.